Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Andy Biggs joins the program to talk about the latest out of the U.S. House of Representatives and Jeremy Boring from DailyWire.com to talk about an amazing revolution happening in children's content. It's really great stuff. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member. Go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab as charliekirk.com. Get all of our content advertiser free. So check it out today. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
It's just been, it's been a tough news day. You know, people say, Charlie, you're too depressing. And like, we just tell the truth. Things are not great right now, but there is some really good news. And one of my favorite people, one of my favorite entrepreneurs who has had an unbelievable amount of success in the space and is only getting started, joins the program because he's now getting into children's programming. Jeremy Boring from Daily Wire, now launching Bent Key. Jeremy, I got to get this whole thing figured out. I have a 1-year-old, so I don't want her watching any of this trans nonsense from Disney. So I'm going to be a very loyal customer. Tell us all about that launch and then also the Snow White news, which is awesome. Jeremy Boring, tell us all about it.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's the biggest initiative ever undertaken by the Daily Wire. We've launched an entirely new company called Bent Key. And as you described it, it's an entertainment app for kids. Right now, there are over 150 episodes of 18 series on the app. And 5 of them are original, things that we created. The rest are things that we cultivated and licensed from around the world and carefully vetted to make sure that there are no left-wing sucker punches, that you can trust us when you put your kids in front of this content, that they're not going to be treated like political pawns or social experiments in a petri dish. They're not going to have values antithetical to your own inculcated in them as they're trying to be entertained. They're just going to get to experience adventure and wonder and imagination and joy and be children.
Yeah. And so talk, Jeremy, this shouldn't be an issue, right? I mean, you're here going to build a sustainable business and let boys be boys and girls be girls. But how did this become a market proposition, right? Because it should be just, okay, Disney does its thing. It's like, it's as if you shouldn't have to be doing this, right? It's expensive. It's hard work. So walk us through this where things really got bad, where you as an entrepreneur met with your team and said, okay, we have to now create children's content. Walk us through the timeline, please.
Well, obviously, Disney turned 100 years old on October 16th, the day that we launched our company. And for most of that 100 years, Disney has been building goodwill and trust with parents across multiple generations. They're the most important and powerful media company, entertainment media company that's ever existed. And they have the greatest catalog of content ever created. Disney is innovative. They make beautiful content. They make wonderful music. They make the kind of content you were raised on and I was raised on, even that our parents were raised on. This goes all the way back, like I say, a century. So yes, there should be no reason why we have any opportunity in this space. And yet, a little over 1 year ago, Chris Rufo leaked footage from inside Disney where they said the quiet part out loud, which we all were beginning to realize, but now we couldn't deny it any longer. And that's that executives and producers at Disney were inserting queerness into their shows, had a quote, not so secret gay agenda, were inserting radical racial politics in their show, and were essentially being governed both at the corporate and content level with all the worst excesses of the woke left. And what we thought is, yeah, this content is for children. If you don't have Disney, if Disney has now betrayed its audience, not only is there a financial opportunity to get involved in this space, but there's a moral obligation to get into this space.
That's exactly right. And I mean, the market is tens of millions of families that are looking for this type of content. And the problem is, and talk about this, Jeremy, is that Disney has been able to take advantage of their incumbency. They're able to spend more on design, music, editing. And so it's just, you're kind of almost suckered in because it does look better than just some rink-a-dink thing. So therefore, Jeremy, you guys have spent and raised a considerable amount of money to compete on the aesthetics. Tell us about that, Jeremy. It's a huge investment.
Yeah. Well, truly, Disney invented this space. I mean, the first animated feature in the world is Snow White and the Seven Dwarves from Walt Disney. It went 400% over budget. He almost bankrupted the company. He risked everything on the belief that this kind of an industry could exist. And since that moment, that company has been innovating. You know, every Pixar movie is a technological leap. Beautiful animation, beautiful music, beautiful visual, beautiful story. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars on single pieces of content. So I have no delusion that we are today what Disney is today. But my hope is that over time, we might be what they were once upon a time. And that is an organization with a vision that will risk it all to pursue that vision and that you can trust with your kids, that your kids will be, that they'll want to watch it, Charlie, that they won't watch it. What I don't want is to meet some kid 15 years from now at a TPUSA event who says, yeah, Ben Key, my parents used to make me watch that stuff. I want to meet kids at TPUSA events 15 years from now who say, I grew up with A Wonderful Day with Mabel McClay. I grew up with Chiptilla. These are some of our shows that we're releasing right out of the gate. That is the content of my childhood. Those are the songs of my childhood. That's how you'll know that we succeeded with this venture.
I want to play one of the trailers here. It is with Brett Cooper, who many of you might recognize through YouTube videos. She's been doing a great job. And congratulations, Jeremy, for creating another very popular personality. It's Cut 79. And it's just, I just want to compliment for people that are not in, you know, I'm not in the movie business, but I know enough of what it takes to even get this trailer set up. Just literally millions of dollars in cameras, equipment, actors, you know, costumes, you name it. It's beautifully shot. A Snow White type competitor with Brett Cooper. This will break the internet. Play Cut 79.
Once upon a time, in time a prince would come. Once upon a time, but now that time is gone.
Coming soon. Jeremy, tell us about that project and also plug how people can get Bent Key children's content.
Absolutely. So Rachel Zegler, the star of Disney's live-action adaptation of their own classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, started making headlines back in July saying that she wasn't a fan of the original movie, that the original movie needed some PC inserted into it, that it wasn't going to be about true love, it wasn't going to be about all of these antiquated ideas. And I thought, what a betrayal. Walt Disney said Snow White is, quote, the perfect story. And she's now, and Disney more broadly has betrayed that legacy. So in true Daily Wire fashion, you know, when Hershey's released their Hershey bar, we released a chocolate company. When Harry's Razors started promoting teaching your daughter how to shave her beard, we launched a razor company. And so if Disney is going to betray Snow White, we're going to launch Snow White. It happens that I have the perfect Snow White already working for me, Brett Cooper. Brett and I were in Northern Italy in the Trento region shooting that teaser. Only 3 weeks ago, I wrote that little song on an app. I was sitting in Italy working on a whole other film that Daily Wire is producing, writing that little song, working with Brett after hours on singing it, shooting all of that footage. You know, we're pouring ourselves into this. We don't just want to troll Disney, although we certainly want to do that. We want to compete with Disney and over time outcompete Disney. I want in 50 years people to think of their Snow White as Brett Cooper. That's the level of quality we're going to aspire to and actually change the paradigm for kids' entertainment in this country. You can get the app at anywhere where there are apps. It's called Bent Key.
Bent Key, and check it out. And they do beautiful stuff. It's really amazing. Bent Key app. And also, if you go to dailywire.com, I think you guys have all the links there as well, that you guys can check out. And so kind of like cross-linking there. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Jeremy, you can take this wherever you want. When I first met you 10 years ago, you were doing work for a series of websites explaining and also exposing Hamas sympathizers and Students for Justice of Palestine, Muslim Brotherhood being embedded here in the Middle East. We've kind of taken our eye off that topic. There's been so many other domestic fights. But now that sleeper cell is awake and it is angry after the atrocities and the massacre of what happened in Israel. Jeremy, your reaction to what we've been seeing on these college campuses, I know it is not a surprise to you. You've been doing this work for quite a while.
Yeah, Ben and I were working, when you and I first met, Charlie, with the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And David was doing, I think, some of the earliest and most important work on this topic for many, many years. And even then, it was frightening. But I never would have guessed we'd be seeing the kind of images that we're seeing today. You're right. We took our eye off the ball and this cancer really spread, I think, beyond any of the proportions that we might have expected. But it's really not surprising in retrospect. And here's why. I think what we're seeing is intersectional hierarchy ideology coming into direct conflict with itself. They built a thought trap and now they're stuck in it. And the thought trap is this. It's that the powerful are intrinsically bad and the weak are intrinsically virtuous. And anything that diminishes the power of the powerful is therefore a good, and anything that enhances the power of the weak is inherently good. And this was created as a way of defending minorities against, predominantly in the West, white Christian men who occupy a position of power in the majority. But there is an inherent flaw in intersectional hierarchy, and that is that one of the smallest minorities in the world, that is the Jews, have disproportionate success and power within most of the spheres in which they operate. And this has led the very movement that purports to defend the minority against the majority to be aligned on the side of the destruction of one of the smallest minorities that exists in the world. It's all because of one bad idea baked into the core of their ideology.
That's exactly right, Jeremy. You hit it perfectly. Intersectionality. If you understand intersectional hierarchy, you can understand what otherwise an outsider would say is a contradiction and makes sense. For example, one of the girls that was taking down posters of kidnapped Israelis was an ADL intern, was someone who worked for the Anti-Defamation League intern and is taking down posters of something that you would think that would fit their worldview. So, Jeremy, in closing here, and I want to just reiterate, everyone, check out Bent Key Children's Content. I'm going to be doing it. I'm going to become a member. I'm also a Daily Wire member. Just to brag, Jeremy, I think the best thing you guys have ever produced is the Exodus series. It's unbelievable. It's game-changing. Seeing Prager and Peterson and groups of professors that I otherwise did not know about that I became aware of. It was just amazing. And you guys just keep on throwing up amazing content at dailywire.com. Check it out. Huge fan. Jeremy, how do we beat the intersectional coalition, the hierarchy? What is their weakness? You've been fighting them for longer than I have. You've been doing it successfully. What have you learned that you could share with our audience of how we beat these intersectional activists, groups, organizations, et cetera? Jeremy Boring.
Ultimately, what they want to do is tear down all of the institutions. And one of the challenges that we have is that, ironically, they already control all of the institutions. And so on the right, as a reaction to the fact that we've lost control of the institutions, we also want to tear down the institutions. And that has created a peculiar alliance between the radical left and the right in this moment. We share the same goal, which is always a bad idea for a movie, right? Movie never works when the good guys and the bad guys actually want the same thing. So I think the only way to beat them is for us to continue going through this painful moment that we're going through on the right of really coming to understand what it is fundamentally that we believe. And I would offer that what we should do is any institution that is beyond redemption, we tear down and replace, but we don't do so cavalierly. Instead, we begin by asking the question, can the institutions on which we built our civilization, can the institutions that have historically undergirded our civilization be redeemed? Because we have to have institutional power in order to defeat the left. You can't just beat them with tweets, and you can't just beat them with nonprofit or for-profit organizations. We have to long-term be building institutions on which you can actually support the kind of civilization that we want to see. And a huge part of that is self-reflection about exactly what it is that we're endeavoring to do, and risk-taking, that we on the right have to once again get into the building business, not just the criticizing business. For the last decade, most of our work on the right has been about criticizing the culture. Instead, we actually have to create a culture.
I couldn't agree more. That's why what the Daily Wire is doing is so important. Well over a million subscribers. Can you believe it? One of the largest media companies, and they're going up. Check it out. Bent Key. It's incredible. Children's programming. They got the Snow White movie, Exodus series, Candace's show, Ben, Matt, all of it. It's amazing. Jeremy, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart, took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out The Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. Joining us now is Andy Biggs. Andy, as I said, if we had 300 Andy Biggs, we'd have a secure border, balanced budget, and none of this nonsense happening. Andy, I'll be very honest. My first hour, I'm getting a little demoralized, so I need a pep talk here. Do you think that we're going to be able to get Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House? Lift my spirits, Andy Biggs.
I'll tell you, Charlie, I think we're going to get him. There's a chance even on the next ballot. There's really three groups that are holding out. You've got the appropriators, some of the appropriators, some of the war hawks in New York. Jim can get the New York. I think New Yorkers are ready to come over, but they just don't want to come over until they know he's got the votes. They'll be the last people to come on. You saw some people come on the last vote. But I'll tell you, if Jim can make peace with Steve Scalise and Scalise releases those last seven and persuades them, I think the next thing you're going to see is that Jim Jordan's going to become the Speaker.
So can you explain the deal with Scalise, kind of where he is? He's been a little bit of a mystery for some of us that have been watching. Can you explain that one? And also, Andy, why so many members are shifting back and forth and back and forth and back and forth? From an outsider, it's just confusing. Help us understand.
Okay, so Steve Scalise, he and Jim need to get together and sort out any differences that may linger between the two of them. If they're able to do that, then I think that Scalise would be more zealous in his advocacy for Jim, and those people would come over. And when those people, and that's how you get the Scalise people. Jim's got to work through Steve to get that done. The New Yorkers, they come from Biden districts. They know that there is no really choice for them but to vote for Jim Jordan. But in their district, they don't feel comfortable voting for Jim Jordan unless they know Jim's going to get over the top. So he gets, if Jim gets the Scalise vote, and then I think the New Yorker vote comes along, and Jim wins. The issue of why people go back and forth, each one has different deals. Like some of them felt like they had to vote for Jim Jordan the first time around, and if after they voted for Jim Jordan, then now they were free. Kevin McCarthy or someone else. And that once they had done that, then they were now free to vote for Jim Jordan. And I think that's what you saw with a couple of them. The others, I mean, two of them, I view those as kind of nonsensical votes. I mean, just voting for Boehner and voting for Kay Granger, that didn't make any sense to me. That's just a protest vote. And some of them are actually, let's just be honest, some of them are mad at us for forcing them to have to vote for someone, for a new speaker. And so they're mad at eight of us, and they think if they vote against Jim, somehow that retaliates against us. And it doesn't do that. What it does is it retaliates against the body and the institution, and also the American people.
So Andy, help me understand one part of this, which, and I totally understand, you know, New Yorkers, they're in Biden districts. I get all that. But I'm hearing from some people that there's this Joyce resolution that potentially that Democrats could align with some of the moderate Republicans and build a coalition government. Is that a baseless kind of bluster? I know that we talked about it back in January, and I introduced that. And Andy, you were right. That was not that big of a threat back then. But is that more of a threat now, given that we're in October, the moderates are losing patience? Walk us through, Andy, if you think that is a possibility on the horizon of Republicans effectively losing their majority through a process of not being able to select a speaker.
Well, what they're talking about doing, Charlie, is there's several of them that have said that they want to give Patrick McHenry, who is the speaker pro tem, they want to give him broader power. And quite frankly, if you give the power that they're talking about, you've effectively elected a new speaker in Patrick McHenry. That's the way I think the parliamentarian would kind of put it there, with kind of a legal nuance. And that's the way I put on it, with a legal nuance as well. The question, of course, is would those people do that? And some of them, if they were going to do it, I thought they were going to do it this morning. And they didn't do it. So we'll see if they're going to make that play. Now, what would happen, Charlie, is Patrick McHenry would be effectively the speaker. He would be the speaker of the House. And that's just the way it is. And they would try to do that by a voice vote, which we won't allow. And then once they did that, what do the Democrats think they get out of it? So the Democrats would be asking for something. The Republicans would still have their majority, but it's already kind of fractured, and has been fractured for a long time. I think what's happening, Charlie, is well, I'll just leave that answer there. And if you want to expand, we can discuss some other things related to it. But that's what they're proposing. I don't know if it's real or not, because I anticipated, it looked to me like they, on the floor, there was floor activity indicating this morning that they were going to go that way. And then they suddenly pulled it. So I don't know why they pulled it, but it didn't happen.
All right. So, Andy, in closing here, what are the marching orders for the grassroots, for the rank and file? What is the best help? Because I've heard from some people that the pressure campaign is actually not helping Jim Jordan. Is it to kind of let this process fold out, contact the representative, just go 10 out of 10 type scorched earth? Andy Biggs, what is the best way the grassroots can help this process to make Jim Jordan the next Speaker of the House?
Well, I would say don't go scorched earth, because that is going to lock in some of these people a little bit harder. I think if you're going to call your own, you don't need to necessarily call any others, but call your own member and just say, look, I don't know why you're where you are, but I respectfully request that you vote for Jim Jordan, and you do it sooner rather than later. Those two things, with a lot of respect, that you vote for Jim Jordan, you do it sooner rather than later. I think that might be helpful.
Andy, thanks so much for joining us. We'll have you on again soon.
Thanks. Thanks, Charlie.
Want to name some of the names here. Don Bacon voted against Jim Jordan. Buchanan, Buck, Chavez, D'Esposito, Diaz-Balter, Balatar, Elzy Ferguson, Garbarino, Jimenez, Gonzalez, Granger, James, Kelly, Kiggins, Lalota, Lawler, Miller, Meeks, Rutherford, Simpson, Stoiber, and Womack. Respectfully call them. We've tweeted out all of the names. Somebody said here, why did John James not vote for Jordan? I gave to John James' campaign. I can't believe he voted against Jim Jordan twice. It's awfully perplexing. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe the establishment is intentionally holding back their votes because they want a coalition government. Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe Jim Jordan would be too effective, too energetic, and too impactful. Some people are saying that John James's district got redrawn, and the margins are very, very tight, so he's very worried. So, what, are you not a Republican anymore? You're not gonna vote for a Republican Speaker of the House? It's perplexing. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Pamela says, Charlie, this whole speaker fight is bloody ridiculous. Why am I even a registered Republican anymore? I'm a staunch Trump supporter, but I'm so done with the House of Representatives, so disappointed and upset. Love your show, but I've just about had it. Boy, that is a common attitude that we are seeing here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let me read another one here. Charlie, enjoy your show. Why has Joe Biden not been impeached? It seems just disappeared. Honestly, we haven't impeached Joe Biden because there's a civil war happening in the Republican Party. All of those impeachment proceedings, remember impeachment inquiry, all that stuff, it's gone. It's dead. It's over. It's disappeared. If you don't have a speaker, there's no business of the House. Even the subcommittees are basically in suspense right now. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation. Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-492-5454 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
Speaker of the House vote. You're not going to get any updates in the next couple minutes. We're just going to keep our eyes on it. Hearing internally that they're going to pressure Jim Jordan to drop out, and I sure hope he does not. But we are not close to a consensus for Speaker of the House as of right now. Okay, back in the 2016 election, can you believe it? 7 years ago? 7 years ago, a young man who was a humorist, he was a satirist, he made a joke. It's Douglas Mackey. Douglas Mackey posted on Twitter a meme. A meme that Democrats have also used against us, that Democrats have used on social media. And the meme was very simple. The meme was, text your vote in for Hillary Clinton to this phone number. That was it. It was a joke. Now, not a single person was disenfranchised because of this meme. Not a single person who texted that number ended up saying that they were stripped or they were prevented from voting, disenfranchised. Now, there are other memes of left-wing accounts that did this for Trump supporters. Make sure you vote by text message Trump supporters. They're never touched by the government, ever. One of the first acts of the Biden regime, this was in January 2021, 2.5 years ago, they arrested Douglas Mackey. And they arrested him and charged him in the Southern District of New York. Mind you, a crime with no actual victims. But the DOJ circled back to prosecute him 4 years later, motivated by hate and vengeance and a Soviet show trial. They want to make an example that speech can land you in federal prison. That speech can get you locked up. Douglas Mackey went through what I would consider to be a very rigged trial in a very Democrat part of the world. And they tried him using the Ku Klux Klan Act. Not an exaggeration. That his joke that impacted nobody was a violation of blacks' civil rights. And so Douglas Mackey was found guilty. And today, Douglas Mackey was sentenced to 7 months in federal prison for making a joke. They equated it to passing a law passed to imprison people who committed terrorism.
So they used a law where, for example, some people might go to a polling place and prevent blacks from voting. Not acceptable. That's why the law was written. So they use that law and apply it 150 years later to Douglas Mackey, who made a joke on the internet that no one took seriously, that no one was disenfranchised with no victims, to put him in federal prison. No one who wrote that law could have predicted it would have been used and corrupted for something like this. The more laws, the less justice, as Mr. Cicero would say, one-year Roman consul of the Roman Republic. Why did they do this? Yes, it's obviously out of justice. It's not out of justice, out of revenge. It's also the buried lead is how dumb the prosecutors think black people are. That's the buried lead, honestly. The buried lead is that the federal government basically thinks blacks are so stupid that they see something where they say you have to text your vote in and they must automatically believe. They're so gullible that they need a federal law preventing that you can't text your vote in. Anyway, that's the buried lead. It's not the main point. A couple thoughts. Of course, they go after the satirists. Stalin imprisoned the joke tellers because at the root of joke telling and humor is truth. One of the most effective ways to challenge tyranny is by telling a joke. And number two, they're trying to quell speech. It used to be that we had a robust First Amendment. By any measure, Douglas Mackey should never have been indicted, never been arrested, never should have been tried, never should have been convicted. This is a historic judgment. Historic in a bad way. It basically says that political speech can land you in federal prison. Even though you have Snoop Dogg saying, I want to shoot President Trump, and Kevin Griffin with a decapitated head of Donald Trump. They all, whatever, they get away from it. Democrats do this all the time. This right here of Douglas Mackey, who now has to serve 7 months in federal prison, a young man who's already been through 7 years of hell, is an example of the breakdown of our Constitution. Douglas Mackey will be going to jail as a political prisoner. We say, oh, Marxism is coming. It's coming. It is here. This is not a free society, a country that locks up a joke teller for 7 months because he put a meme on social media that no one took seriously. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.